evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 274 are Brad Coates.
Hello, everybody.
And Brett Williams.
Hi, everyone.
So tonight on the podcast, we're going to be talking about planning ahead for a fall Walt Disney World vacation. You know, we've talked about the fall a lot in the past. This time, we're really going to focus our attention on those things that you want to work ahead for, because it's only March, and we're going to be talking about the fall. But before we get to that discussion, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. So, guys, I know you're both big fans of fall at Walt Disney World like I am. Let's go ahead and sort of jump in with both feet and start it with, you know, what kinds of things you ought to be looking out for if you're considering a fall vacation at Walt Disney World. And maybe we should define our terms. You know, Brad, when you think of fall at Walt Disney World, when do you think of that travel season starting?
Well, I think fall starts end of August, first part of September. That's when a lot of schools are finally buttoning up. So I think maybe that's when it kind of starts. Full swing is more October, November.
Okay. So for you, basically, once kids are back in school, now we're talking about fall.
Right.
All right. Would you agree, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, I really do. That's pretty much spot on. And October for me is really that hotbed of activity, because that's when all the events really, you know, kick off in earnest, you know, at Disney World for the fall.
So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned events. Somehow for me, you know, fall at Walt Disney World sort of starts with the first Halloween party. Because, first of all, they start them ridiculously early now.
Yeah.
The first one this year was like September 7th or something like that, September 9th, somewhere around there.
I think it's actually September 1st last year.
Oh, that's right, because of the funny calendar, the way it fell.
Yeah, but this year, I think you're right, it's going to be a little later.
Yeah, so it'll probably be a little later this year. But the point is, again, for me, because the decorations change. You know, the parks start to look different, the resorts start to look different, and the beginnings of the events. So Mickey's Not So Scary is going to start near the beginning of September. The Food and Wine Festival is going to be coming up, and that usually starts later in September. I believe this year we're starting the Food and Wine Festival again around, what is it, September
25th.
Okay, I was going to say around September 26th, so September 25th. So later in September, we get Food and Wine Festival, and obviously that means that by October, as both Brett and Brad were saying, you're kind of in, you know, full swing of fall. And when, in your mind, is kind of the back end of that. What's the close of fall at Walt Disney World, Brett?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you asked that, because when you talked about the changing of the decorations, the first time we had gone in the fall, we caught the tail end of what I consider the real fall decorations and everything. And it's like we came in and they had all the fall festive type pumpkin Mickey faces and everything up. And then a day later, everything was down. And like 2 days later, they were lighting up Cinderella's castle. And that was about the maybe not quite the second week of November. So for me, you know, on a regular schedule, I would still consider November the fall, but on a Disney World schedule, it's kind of kicking over to the you know, the next holiday season with, you know, Christmas and everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point that you have that kind of, we joke, we call it the magic week, where you could catch, if you took a week-long trip and your trip started with the last Halloween party at the end of October, you could probably do the last Halloween party and the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party in the same vacation.
And we actually tried to do that on this last trip. We got down there on November 1st, so we had just missed the Halloween party, and we had the very first Christmas one.
Yeah. So how about you, Brad? Do you feel the same way, or do you, in your mind, does fall run a little longer?
I guess that makes sense, especially what Brett is saying. I guess what I was thinking was more fall weather rather than holiday spirit. So,
okay.
Of course, with Orlando, it doesn't really get much winter. So I was kind of thinking more in terms as it gets deeper into December. I think that's a good place where it turns. But for me, it's still fall. We always considered that we were going in the fall when we go our favorite time of week, which is we love to go Thanksgiving week.
Right.
Because we get to experience that changeover. We go and we enjoy Thanksgiving, and then suddenly we're full blown into Christmas.
Sure. And I guess I would probably split the difference between the two of you, because for me, fall at Walt Disney World, I think, really continues probably until the week before Thanksgiving. Because to me, it kind of transitions from, you know, fall to holiday travel season when you kick into Thanksgiving week, right? Because the crowds really, you know, peak up, and your experience touring the parks and things becomes markedly different at that point. So
yeah,
I would say fall runs, you know, beginning of Halloween parties until about that week before Thanksgiving. But you can see that there's some range of opinion here, and that's why I wanted to start with this discussion, because I think that when you hear people talking about fall at Walt Disney World, you know, people could be talking about something as different as the second week in August or the third week in November.
Yep.
And those are very different experiences. So Brett, when you're planning a fall vacation, I mean, we're into, when this podcast goes live, it'll be March. So, you know, April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're going to be right at the cusp of those really heart of fall vacation planning time, because we'll be about 6 months out, you know, getting up to that ADR date. What are the first things that you're planning ahead for a fall vacation?
Well, it's, you know, it's funny that you ask that, because I'm already planning in earnest. And what's interesting is that we're actually fall converts. We used to be the folks that went in the spring, and then we got to our children got to school age, and my children are now 10 and 7. So we've changed a little bit, just because in our school district we have off 2 days at the beginning of November. So we started going then, just so we didn't have to quite take them out of school.
Sure.
But the different perspective for me too is the fact that I'm a Disney Vacation Club member. So we start planning literally 11 months out.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm literally getting back from one trip and booking the next one. And so it's kind of a joke with, you know, my friends and people that I work with, that I'm either at Disney or planning for Disney. And it's really not
welcome to the Diz Dads Club.
Exactly. It's not off base. I mean, so for me, I started planning in 11 months because of the vacation club. And, you know, we try to stay at different resorts. So our home resort that we usually go to is Bay Lake Tower. But at 7 month mark is when we will try and change. So we're coming up on that very soon. So in March, kind of right before this airs, I think I'll be trying to get my reservation switched from Bay Lake Tower to something else, preferably, you know, beach club or somewhere in that area, just because of the reasons we're talking about now, the fall events. So, you know, 7 months is really key, and then obviously the 6 months. And I start looking, once I'm even booked at the 11-month mark, I'm perpetually checking the airfare, waiting to see, because I live in Pittsburgh, and the only place we really have for direct flights is through Southwest. So I am on their site all the time looking to see, right, okay, did they open up the schedules yet or not? So I'll be doing that next week as well.
All right. So that's a great point. So in some ways, you know, 6 months is already too late if you're a DVC owner, because you've got that 11-month window for your home resort. And then at 7 months out, if you wanted to move to a different resort, you can start looking at those options. And that gets us, I think, to the first kind of big topical area here, which is, you know, when you're planning for a fall vacation at Walt Disney World, are there particular resorts that really stand out to you as the best choices for fall, for various reasons? Brett, I think you were kind of alluding to that already as you talked about looking at Beach Club or Boardwalk to move your DVC reservation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting is the first time we went as part of the DVC in the fall, we stayed at Bay Lake. And we truly didn't experience all the benefits of what's happening at the fall at that time with, you know, the Halloween party as well as the Food and Wine Festival. The next time we went, we actually were fortunate enough to get into the boardwalk. And it was a little bit surprising. I didn't realize, you know, the volume of traffic that they got at the resorts. So at the seven-month mark, I tried to book, and I couldn't find anything that I wanted. And we originally were booked at Old Key West, and we waitlisted the boardwalk, and we were very fortunate to get in. So that's why we started booking 11 months out. We actually added on at Bay Lake Tower, going with the theory that, well, if we don't get into the resort we want, oh, well, we're quote-unquote stuck at Bay Lake Tower. Like it's a miserable place to be, right? So, I mean, we're really happy with that, but, you know, we were finding that the only places were available at 7 months were places like Saratoga Springs, and places that we particularly didn't want to stay. I mean, other people love them. It's just not our cup of tea.
Sure.
We prefer to be near the parks. And with the Food and Wine Festival, it's just great to be that close to Epcot.
Right, right. So obviously, if you're going to try and stay close to Epcot, you know, you've got those Crescent Lake resorts, the Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club, even the Swan and Dolphin really are you know, right in that area. And obviously, you know, the Contemporary and over there, your advantage there is walking distance at the Contemporary, at least, to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Brad, are there other resorts that you think, you know, are particularly noteworthy for fall?
Well, one of the ones that I really enjoy, and I'm actually a DVC owner as well. But I don't ever stay at my resort because my resort is Saratoga, so I'm the seven-month expert. But the one that I love is Wilderness Resort because it gives you, especially, it's really great at Christmas, but even before Christmas, it just gives you that feeling like fall, mountains, trees. Having grown up in Colorado, you know, in that kind of environment, I love that particular resort because it gives me that feeling that I'm in the fall.
Yeah, you know, the oversized hearth and the kind of cozy feel.
Exactly. It gives you that feeling like, well, it's fall, and even though I'm in Orlando and it could be 85 degrees, it's still supposed to feel like I could nestle up to a nice warm fire with a cup of hot tea. It'll probably be iced tea, but I'll still do it.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, I think maybe in the moderate range, I like Port Orleans French Quarter a lot in the fall, just because I know that Mardi Gras is really a spring event, but it does have at least that kind of, you know, dress-up, costumey feel, for lack of a better way to put it, that kind of goes along with the whole Halloween spirit. Kind of feels in place there, and I think that some of the you know, Princess and the Frog, Tiana touches that they've added over time, really both at Riverside and French Quarter, more recently, you know, also have a little bit of that Halloween feel.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and you know what? I'll tell you that, you know, Brad, you bring up a great point. I mean, I live in Western Pennsylvania, and here we get all four seasons. Right now, I'm not particularly fond of the season we're in. But when you look at the fall, it is really nice to see the change of leaves, the, you know, the nature. And, you know, as you pointed out, coming from Colorado, I have that same concept of you get down to Florida, and it's just a different environment, right? You know, it's even when it's not hot, it's hot, right? And it's just different. And so it is nice, I think, to your point, you know, when you talk about being at, you know, the Wilderness Lodge and everything, having that kind of fall nature type environment there. So that's one of the resorts we were actually considering, you know, if we can get in at the 7 month mark. So, yeah, we were kind of on the fence and leaning towards, you know, the like I said, the Beach Club Boardwalk area. But you bring up a great point, so I may put that bug in my wife's ear.
You know, do a split stay and stay there a couple of days. Because if you're doing Food and Wine, wouldn't be a real good resort because that's going to be kind of a haul heading over to Epcot. But
sure.
So I think that resort choice is probably the farthest out decision you're going to make for a fall trip, because, you know, if we're going to really talk about what September as really the start of fall, you know, those resorts, you can be booking those really starting, you know, the probably July before is when the rates are going to come out. So, you know, you can really look ahead and book those a year in advance if you're, you know, just booking a package, you know, not part of the vacation club. And I think one of the things, and, you know, we kind of have to mention it, and it's going to tie into the transition to talking about restaurants too, is that there's a lot of attention, I think, paid to the what has become the traditional, you know, discount plan that Disney makes available in the fall. Usually there are a couple of different discounts, and I always have to put in the big red disclaimer, you know, past results are no prediction of future performance,
right?
So the fact that you had a discount that came out last year doesn't mean the same one's coming out next year. Doesn't matter if it's been offered the last 5 years. It may not be the same. But that said, you know, I think everybody's who's listening is probably at least somewhat familiar with the pattern, which is that Disney will release some form of a free dining offer, which means you pay rack rate for the room, but they will include at no additional cost at a value resort. They include a quick service dining plan at moderate and deluxe resorts. They've traditionally included what I tend to refer to as the standard dining plan. Some people call it the plus dining plan. But it's the one that includes table service, counter service, snack. And a lot of people kind of look for fall because that discount is particularly attractive to them. I will say that they also run often a room rate discount that they run parallel to it. And, you know, I encourage people to do the math, because depending on where you're staying and how many people in your party and how old they are, you may find that room discount actually saves you more money than a free dining plan.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But that said, I think it's worth noting that there are some resorts that are traditionally excluded from those free dining offers, and so you might want to be aware of that.
Your beloved French Quarter.
I was just going to say, recently, well, French Quarter is the most commonly excluded moderate, but this last cycle, we found that Riverside was excluded as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Art of Animation is, Little Mermaid is never in it.
Right. And in these film discount offers, they actually excluded the, believe it or not, the All-Star Movies Resort.
Okay.
Was left out of the discount offers. You know, this is all about capacity planning from Disney's perspective. They don't offer these discounts because they're doing anybody a favor. You know, exactly. These discount offers come out because their goal is to keep their resorts booked as close to 90% capacity as possible. And so, you know, if they don't need to offer the deal to get the resort filled, they're not going to offer it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about the different options that they give you, whether it's the room, you know, paying the rack rates for that and getting the free dining plan and the different combinations. You know, I think a lot of people, when they're looking for those deals, they really are looking at just the financial best situation. Whereas, you know, a little more seasoned folks like ourselves, like, we know where we're going, where we want to stay, what we want to do. So I think it's a little bit different perspective. I'm sure I'm not alone, and you guys have been asked the same question by many people that aren't as familiar with how Disney World works, where people say, oh, you know, where's the best place to stay? Or when's the best time to go? And as we all know, there's a whole lot of factors that go into that. So the different options that they offer you really have to be considered as a one-off. That's not a one-size-fits-all for sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. So I mentioned that, and I'm going to say real quickly, you know, the show's going to come out a little bit later than I had originally planned. But, you know, there are rumors hot and heavy that between the time we're recording this and the time it actually comes out, that we may have a ticket price increase coming through again at Walt Disney World. February apparently is about to become the new normal. for Disney ticket price increases. I don't, you know, it's only a rumor. I don't know anything anybody else, you know, doesn't know at this point. But those rumors seem to be pretty strong right now. And I want to, you know, let people know when you're planning a trip. And I don't know, maybe you guys have experienced this, but I know people who say, I'm going to go in the fall, but I'm waiting for the offer, right? I'll book when the offer comes out. And I think what you guys have just been talking about is one of the things that made me think about the fact that, maybe that's not the best choice.
Absolutely not.
And there are a couple of reasons for that. You know, you've mentioned a few resorts that really are standouts at that time of year. You know, even the, I mean, Brett was talking about the DVC rooms at Boardwalk and Beach Club, but there are plenty of deluxe resort hotel rooms there as well, and at Swan and Dolphin and at Wilderness Lodge. And, you know, those rooms book. People have been booking Beach Club for, you know, the time period during which Food and Wine Festival is going to be going on since last summer. So one, the availability is you know, does get tricky. I don't know. Have you, either of you tried to, you know, found it difficult to get fall bookings, on the cash side, you know, when these popular discount times are coming around?
Well, I'll say not me specifically, but on this last trip that we went in a similar style to the podcast you did with Tim Hicks, we had a total of 16 people going, and they were all staying at different resorts. And actually, one of the things that came into play is people had switched resorts like two or three times because of the dining plan and the way things work. So, yeah, the availability and those plans as they come out, it definitely can wreak havoc with where you want to stay. And one of the other big things is when you talk about the ticket price increases, and this all kind of integrates together and has this kind of perfect storm effect, is you also have to take into account, you know, the local folks or the people that are within driving distance. You know, a good friend of ours, CJ, who lives in the, you know, the Miami area, he's not too far away. So there's plenty of folks like that for the Food and Wine Festival, and the different events may just come up and spend a weekend, come up and stay Friday, Saturday, head out Sunday. So that kind of wreaks havoc when you're trying to book for, you know, what I refer to as a typical week being Saturday to Saturday.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And now I have been a DVC owner for 9 years now. And so, but the thing is, because of my situation, almost all of my trips over the last 2 years have been cash trips, and that'll it'll be going forward for the most part. So I can definitely speak to that, Aaron, in that if you wait, you will start to run into problems. And I was talking to somebody just this week that was saying, oh, I'm going to hurry up and go out and buy my tickets because I don't want it to go up before my trip. And I said, that's not a bad idea. You know, invest and it doesn't hurt you. They'll last and you can sit on them and that's great. But at the same time, the same person said, but I don't want to book my room yet. I don't want to put down a $200 deposit because that'll tie up my money. And I'm like, dude, it's $200. It's fully refundable up until final payment and actually beyond to some extent. It doesn't make any sense not to book as far out as you can and then adjust it if you need to. Right. So I encourage everybody, especially if you're going in the fall, because the problem is sometimes people think, well, and some people don't, not everybody knows about, there are people on the planet that don't know about free dining. So they think, well, the fall's going to be slow, so they wait late. And all of a sudden, free dining comes out in their week. And in the span of a week, all of a sudden, rooms are hard to come by because everybody's piling on the favored, you know, discount. And suddenly, they're finding it hard to find a room that's reasonable.
Yeah, and just to add to that, one of the things that I think people don't realize is, you know, if you book that vacation now, and when I say now, I'm saying, you know, we're recording this show in mid-February. It's not going to come out for a few weeks, but at the time that we're recording, you book that room now, and you're locked in as soon as you make that deposit to the current ticket rate. You book that, you know, 2 months from now, and if we get this anticipated February ticket price increase, sure, you may get, you know, 60 days out or 75 days out or 90 days out, you may get a free dining offer that you can try and book. But once you figure in the ticket price increase that you're paying for because you waited, you may have given back a good chunk of the discount.
That's exactly right.
So I think it's become even more important in my mind to get out in front of the fall bookings, just because you really do start limiting yourself, and the options do get fewer. I mean, I already noticed last fall that a lot of folks who waited to book until the discounts came out, standard rooms were gone.
Exactly.
So yep. We're already paying extra because you had to pay for a room
garden view or a pool view. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Aaron, I know you're the host of this show, but I want to turn this around on you. You know, you're a little bit more familiar with the travel agent side. I mean, do you see people? Do you encourage them to just book as soon as you can and hop on the dining plan combinations or offers that they come out with when they're available? Because, I mean, to me, I'm just thinking out loud here, but I would think you would want to have your place reserved and just take whatever the next best offer is that comes out if they offer it to you.
That's pretty much what we do. Yeah, that we absolutely encourage folks to do it because, you know, once somebody's – and it's a little different. If you're going to do this yourself, then, you know, all of a sudden it becomes this extra burden. I mean, I'm not joking when I do that intro piece where I talk about let the travel agent take care of the headaches. When those fall discounts come out, travel agents spend 3 hours sitting on hold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Waiting to fix reservations because what they do is, you know, if you book with any credible who has Disney experience, who knows how Disney bookings work, as soon as you book that reservation, you know, the travel agent is going to, what I call it, babysitting. The agent's going to babysit that reservation. And what that means is that at any time a discount comes out that might apply to that reservation, the travel agent's going to jump on it and take care of it for you. I know that if I've got clients that are scheduled for fall, most of the time, I'll go through with them and say up front, you know, if this discount comes out, you know, do you have a strong preference for room type if we have to move room type? If the discount's not available at your resort, do you have a second choice resort that you'd be comfortable with? And I run through those things with my clients way up front because that way, when the discount offer does come out, you know, the client doesn't have to do anything. I'm going to be the one, or their, you know, whoever they book through, their travel agent is going to be the one who spends 3 hours waiting on hold to tell the cast member that, you know, they need to apply the discount. And if they can't get the discount at the resort that they'd initially booked, you know, to run through the options and to be able to capture both a resort that they'll be happy with and the best discount that they can apply to their booking.
Plus, with that, normally when free dining's out, that there's usually the room only discount too. So we have to run it by our clients. You know, if this works out better with the discount and giving up the free dining, are you willing to do that as well? But here's another good point too, because it's true. Yeah, we sit on the line for hours to take care of that, and that's a great feature to them. But to the person who doesn't use one and thinks, well, then, you know, what's the advantage to me? The truth is, whether the agent does it for you or you do it for yourself, either way, whether you've already got something booked or you don't have anything booked, you're still going to sit on the line for 2 hours.
Sure.
So you might as well have something in place that you're comfortable with just in case when you finally get through, you don't find what you're looking for. So
yeah,
it's a win-win.
The fact that this new ticket price window is coming into play or appears to be coming into play just adds one more layer of complexity to this that, I know that this last round, I actually had a client that if we had moved, you know, if we had done what we would have needed to do to get them into free dining because what they were originally booked at they couldn't have stayed at that resort and gotten free dining because the resort was excluded. So to move them to the other resort and to get the discount applied, they were going to have to pay the higher ticket price. And what it ultimately came down to is that they weren't actually going to save any money at all, and they'd have to move to their second choice resort. There was no reason to do it.
Exactly. Yep.
And I think a lot of people went ahead and, you know, made moves to a second choice or a third choice resort without doing the math. And I feel awful for those folks because, you know, yeah, they gave up something they didn't need to give up.
Yeah, I certainly think there's a lot of ignorance that is demonstrated during that time frame. It's, you know, for the, you know, the unwary traveler who, you know, doesn't go through a travel agent or, you know, consult someone that's, you know, Disney savvy. Yeah, I think they kind of just walk into those things without knowing any better.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So here's really what this all leads us into, right? Because we're talking about the popularity of free dining in the fall. And so I think we need to talk about restaurants for fall, because I think we've talked about favorite restaurants all the time, and there are so many, and you know, lots of different choices come up. But I think that there are certain restaurants that do sort of, you know, stand out in particular seasons. And just to give you an example that's sort of off the side, I think that California Grill, for example, really shines in the summer. Because, you know, they do a seasonal menu, and the produce that's available in the summer just, I think, really fits with what they do at California Grill, and I think it's especially great in the summer, just as an example. And I think there are other restaurants that work the same way. So do you guys have some favorite fall restaurants that you would recommend? You know, Brett, is there a standout for you that just says fall to you?
Well, to be very honest, I never actually thought of it that way, but I have thought about it from an event perspective. And when the Food and Wine Festival is taking place, it is just a phenomenal atmosphere. I actually remember the first time that I wandered into Epcot, I won't say accidentally, but I wandered into the Food and Wine Festival unintentionally because I had been watching a Steeler game at the ESPN Zone, and I was going to leave. And when I finally got back to Bay Lake Tower, I told my wife, I said, I felt like I was in college, and I had just walked into a frat party. Because everywhere I turned, it's like I just saw everyone had wine or craft beers, and the food and the smell was just amazing. So when I think about eating, what we've started to do now when we go in the fall at that time is we pick a day where we don't really necessarily book any heavy meals or anything. Like this last time, we decided to have pizza at DiNapoli, and then, you know, later that day we met up with some friends of ours and we just went to different kiosks and got different drinks and would find tables to sit at and just eat and enjoy it. So not so much seasonal as much as event-driven dining. Okay.
That's a great point, and I agree. I think it's a waste almost to be at Walt Disney World during Food and Wine Festival and not give yourself at least, you know, a day to explore the food kiosks.
Absolutely. I mean, if anybody going in thinking you're just going to get, you know, some kind of a small little bite. I mean, they're small, but if you eat and you're full before you go to Food and Wine, you're going to be very sorry because you can fill up quick. There's some great food.
And you know what? That's a great point, Brad. And you know, as we were talking about the dining plan, I remember the last time we went and we were on the dining plan, and there was a kiosk for Le Cellier outside, and they were giving away like fillets equivalent to a snack on the dining plan. I'm like, this is a great snack. I mean, talk about value.
Yeah.
I mean, and it, in the context, you know, some people would complain because, you know, it's a very small fillet. It's like a 2.5 ounce fillet, 4 ounce, somewhere between there, 2.5, 3 ounce fillet. But the thing is that in the context of everything else you're eating at Food and Wine, I don't know that I'd want one that was bigger.
Exactly. Because to do food and wine and not go around and eat, you know, six or eight different things. I mean, that's the point of it, is to go around and try some really unique things. And you start adding up those 2 ounces six times. Pretty soon, yeah, you're full.
Yeah. If you put all that food on one plate, it would be astonishing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the Food and Wine Festival, I mean, it kind of gets its own category, but it's a really good point. And I think it does affect your planning for table service meals. I don't know, Brad, do you have any restaurants that really stand out to you as ones that, you know, really say fall to you and fit the season and fit that time of year at Walt Disney World?
Well, I know the easy one, of course, is to fall back on what I mentioned before with my favorite resort also includes a couple of my favorite restaurants. And so Trails End and I'm blanking on the other one at Wilderness Lodge.
Whispering Canyon,
yeah. I enjoy both of those. And they're very rustic, and it gives you that same fall feel. But you know what? One that actually I really enjoy and I don't know why it makes me think of fall. Maybe it's just because it's all brown. I don't know. But Animal Kingdom, Geco. I really enjoy going to Geco. It just gives me that same kind of feel that I'm kind of in the wild and enjoying it.
No, I mean, I was thinking the same thing about, both Geco and Boma. I think they really do kind of say fall to me. I think it has to do, the African flavors and the African food they do, they end up using a lot of root vegetables, which I think to us, Americans, is kind of a fall thing. And
that's a good thought. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. Kind of get that Thanksgiving kind of a...
Right.
Yeah, the root vegetables. Yeah.
And it's root vegetables, and there's a lot of there's cinnamon in a lot of things, and so some of the smells and flavors, have that kind of fall feel to them. I agree.
Yeah, and you know what? You actually jogged my memory when you just brought that up, and this actually will tie together. Is this last time we did the Hoop-Dee-Doo review?
Okay.
And when you go over there, I mean, we were staying at Bay Lake. We took the boat over, and you kind of leave from everything that is so, kind of Disney or commercial-centric. Like, it's a different feel, like we said before about Florida and the way things are laid out. But then all of a sudden you walk right off the boat, you go down the ramp, and suddenly you're surrounded by all these trees, and you see people riding bikes through the woods, and you're going into, not the lodge, but the dining hall, Pioneer Hall. And it's just got this kind of throwback to, the Wild Wild West, and it's just a different feel with the nature and everything. And it kind of ties into, the comments about, Wilderness Lodge and the restaurants there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definite point. Well, before we move on from restaurants, any other particular, dining options or even counter service or bars or things that, really kind of, ones that you would make a special effort to visit during a fall vacation?
Maybe with that, opening that up to kind of the quick service thing, Columbia Harbor House kind of has that fall winter feel. With their meals, those hearty meals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm drawing a blank, and of course this would be the most inopportune time for that to happen, but one of the restaurants right in the Magic Kingdom, they serve essentially the really hearty, turkey, mashed potatoes.
Liberty Tree Tavern.
Thank you. I was drawing a complete blank. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I know so many people that go there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about fall, when it begins or ends, and I mean, I would include Thanksgiving in the fall experience, I think that would be a good one, too, for folks.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we've talked about, you know, resort bookings you're going to do the farthest out. Your dining reservations are going to open up about 180 days, or they're going to open 180 days prior to your check-in. There are a couple other things that you're going to do in advance that are tied to the special events that we've been talking about. So usually the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party tickets, if that's something you're going to be interested in doing, those tickets are going to come out usually around the first week in May. And that'll be, you know, official dates will be announced and ticket prices will come out and you'll be able to purchase those. Anybody have any tips for somebody who's, you know, trying to plan ahead for Mickey's Not So Scary and kind of wants to, you know, get in their head when they might go before May?
I mean, I will tell you, it is, we do everything basically ASAP. So when those, you know, windows open up to say, hey, tickets are on sale, like, we're buying right away. So as soon as we can buy for October, we'll look and see what the options are for the event type things like that. And then we'll plan our other itinerary, you know, activities around that. So if we know Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, you know, party is going to be on this Friday, we're going to pick that Friday, and whatever we had planned, we'll rearrange it to accommodate that.
Okay.
Because you have a lot of flexibility around the parks.
Sure.
But with the events, you're kind of, you got to pick what's available.
True. True.
And a couple other pointers there. Number one, people need to keep in mind, especially if they've not been down to Florida or they're not from that region, planning closer to Halloween is a little bit smarter, simply because if you start booking those early ones in September and then you put on an outfit and you go to the park all dressed up and it's 90 degrees and sweltering, humid, in September it can still be pretty warm and pretty uncomfortable. So some people think, well, I'll just do it really early and get at it and do it early. And most of the people I've talked to that have done them early in September, the only thing they said negative about the experience was that it was great. It was still the same party, but it just didn't feel like it was Halloween yet. And sometimes they were just miserable because it was hot. And then the second thing is, keep in mind, they do let you in. Or once again, here's the red disclaimer. Up until now, unofficially, they've always let you in at 4 o'clock instead of at 7 o'clock. So it's a good day not to use a park day when you buy your tickets.
Yep.
Use that event ticket as your whole go in at 4, and you when you stay from 4 to midnight or 1, whatever they're open to, you get a full day out of that experience without using a park day.
Well, and here's a tip. We may have talked about this recently on another show, but I'm going to remind people because I think it's important to, you know, the whole planning ahead for fall idea. It does look like that 4 o'clock admission is really becoming official policy, even if it's not printed anywhere, because one of the things I learned is that as long as you don't use another park ticket on that day, if you're only using your Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party ticket to enter a Walt Disney World theme park on that particular day, you can use your Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party ticket to make Fast Pass Plus.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You just have to make them between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. And that actually is a really nice bonus.
Yeah.
But it also means that you want to buy those far enough out, at least 60 days out, so that you get to make those FastPass Plus reservations when the window first opens, because you've got to make them within a fairly narrow time frame, because they don't have FastPass lines running during the party, and you can't make them before your ticket allows you entry, which is 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and yeah, just so that everybody caught what you said, 4 to 7, because at 7, that's the official party start time, and at that point, there are no more FastPass Pluses. That's why you have to do 4 to 7. Yeah.
And I'll also caution people that it does appear, lately at least, that the closer you get to Halloween, the more likely and the earlier the party's going to sell out. And often the first part of your two of the year will also sell out fairly quickly. Often because, you know, you get a larger proportion of locals who, you know, are excited to see the first one of the year or, you know, couldn't wait, whatever. So those are the ones that seem to book up the fastest. If you're going somewhere in the middle of October, late September, you probably can afford to wait a little bit longer. But I think that Brett's comment is well taken that, you know, better to get out in front of it, go ahead and get it booked, get the ticket purchased, and build. That gives you more time to be flexible about the rest of your plan and plan around it.
Yeah, and, you know, just to add on to that, for people that aren't going, you know, to that event or it's a different day, pay very close attention to where you're going, because that's a great opportunity. Like, you don't want to sell yourself short and say, oh, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom on this day, only to find out they're kind of kicking you out or it's getting really congested at 5 o'clock. So I look at that, too. If we're there, you know, parties are going to be happening on multiple days during our stay, we'll make sure that we kind of plan accordingly so we're not stuck in the congested time zone.
Right. And along similar lines, you know, Food and Wine Festival, I mean, we've talked about the food booth and all of that, but there's a whole other layer to Food and Wine Festival that, frankly, we haven't even talked about much on the podcast, and that is the variety of, you know, special dining experiences and cooking demonstrations and, you know, food and wine pairings and all of these sort of special events on top of the special event. And those are typically come out the very beginning of August. Usually they'll announce them around the middle of July, like near the end, you know, one of the last 2 weeks of July. They'll announce what these events are going to be, and then they'll open them for booking the beginning of August.
And they book out fast.
And exactly. Thank you, Brad, for saying it.
They're small groups, and so, I mean, as soon as they hit, they're gone.
Yeah. I don't know. Have either of you ever done any of the Food and Wine Festival special events?
Well, to Brad's point, how quickly they sell out, it's one of those things that we're so busy planning everything else, and then it's like, oh, I forgot about them. And then I would look and I would see some really cool things that they had planned, or friends of ours said, oh, we want to go see this, and they were long gone.
Yeah.
So, again, talking planning ahead. You can expect to see them, you know, start watching for them around July. Disney Food Blog is a great news source for those kinds of things.
Indeed.
Yep. And they're often the first ones out with them. You know, Disney will release a whole list. The Disney Parks blog isn't bad about it, but frankly, Disney Food Blog is probably faster with full lists.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, Disney Food Blog for sure. There's one other item, too, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon.
Ah, good point.
There's another thing that comes out, and those book out really, really fast, too. So.
Right. All right, so I think we covered kind of the range of advance planning things, and if we weren't clear enough about it, when those do open for booking in August, by the way, those special events, if you want to go, get booked. Because as Brett said, if you don't book that first week they open, they're not going to be there. They book up that fast. So... is there anything else that either of you think is something that people really need to be watching ahead for when they're planning a fall vacation?
I don't know if you need to watch ahead, but one other thing too that is an option, for example, especially if you got locked out on Food and Wine, but the Swan and Dolphin does a Food and Wine program as well, usually in the end of October, I think, was when they did it last time. I've heard a lot of people say they enjoy that even more.
Yeah, they do a nice job. Brad, have you ever been down for the Swan and Dolphins event?
unfortunately, my problem is in the fall. If we're going to go in the fall, we love Thanksgiving and Christmas so much that we're like, yeah, we're only going to get down there once. So I really want to try what Brett did. I really want to try to get the – I've yet to do the Not So Scary. So I want to try to catch that and then catch the first Christmas one of these times. But, yeah, so I've missed that. I've been to the garden.
Right.
At the first part of the year where they do the booths, but I haven't done food and wine.
How about you, Brett? Have you done the Swan and Dolphins?
You know, we have not, and we have friends that, you know, because the husband travels so much, he has a ton of points, and they always stay there religiously, and they have attended that, and they've had nothing but just really good things to say about it, too.
Yeah, just very briefly, you know, I mean, it's not technically a Walt Disney World event. The Swan and Dolphin are separately owned by Starwood Hotels, but they've got a lot of really nice restaurants there at the Swan and Dolphin, and so they do sort of their own mini food and wine festival that runs essentially parallel, you know, often at the same time. The exact dates have moved around a little bit for their food and wine event. It's been, I think Brad was saying this last year, he thought it was late October. I know I remember one year it was sort of the first weekend in November. You know, they just run it for one weekend. And often they'll have special packages available. You can book with them. You know, you get your tickets to their festival and a room, which is kind of a great deal because, you know, if stumbling distance to Beach Club from Epcot is nice, you know, being not even having to leave the inside of the resort.
That was so perfectly worded, Aaron.
The stumbling part. Yeah, the key difference between the two is the Food and Wine Festival. Disney's is you pay for each plate.
Exactly.
Well, I think it was $48. At Swan and Dolphin, you pay for a band, a wristband.
Right.
And then you just eat whatever you want.
Yeah, so. Now, they have done it a couple of different ways. They have, and I'm not sure whether they've settled on a way that they're going to do it the same way all the time. It is a fairly new thing. I think the first one was back in 2010. So theirs has only been around for a few years. But they've gone with a couple of different models. At one point, you had the option you could do basically an all-you-could-eat band, which meant that you could visit the various food tables and drink tables as many times as you wanted to. And, you know, just the only rule is you could only take one sample per time, you know, per visit. You'd have to get in line again. And it was sort of an all-you-can-eat bracelet. It was, I want to say, priced somewhere around $150 or $200, which is a good chunk of money, but really, for what you were getting, it wasn't unreasonable.
Actually, last year, I'm pretty sure the band was $90.
Okay.
Well, and then still, it's spendy, but...
They've done a couple of different things because they've also done one where there was tiered thing, right, where you could do the all-you-could-do band you could do the once per table or one that got you, I forget, it was a set number of...
Premium alcohol added onto it.
Yeah. You set number of items and you could buy a premium thing that got you drinks too or, you know... They've tried different models, so read up on it, I guess, is what I would say if you're going to try that one. But I have heard some really good things about their event. All right. Any other schedule-related things about fall vacations?
Well, the only one thing I would caution people on, you know, like I said, we pick a day and we go into Epcot for the Food and Wine Festival, or as my daughter calls it, the Beer and Wine Festival, which is kind of the segue to what I wanted to make people aware of, is on the weekends, I think you tend to get a slightly different crowd there.
Yeah.
So as much as Disney is this family-oriented, fun place, you know, there are some unfortunate events that can happen later on in the evening with people, you know, particularly not to, you know, point any people out, but younger kids, college-age kids, tend to imbibe a little bit more than they should. And it kind of takes away a little bit from that Disney atmosphere. So my recommendation to people that are taking their children, their families, looking to have a nice, you know, Disney time is maybe, you know, pick that day during the week versus a Saturday or Sunday or, you know, even a Friday night.
Yep, and daytime and early evening.
Yeah.
Move on when it comes to nighttime, yep.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And I think that is an important element in your planning. You know, I think you can do an earlier in the day, spend some time at Food and Wine Festival on a Saturday in particular. But as the day wears on and as the weekend wears on, I think that the atmosphere does change.
I think there's actually two other things that I have on my list here for fall activities, just to mention to people.
Oh, sure.
They're not as popular, but they do have a following. Night of Joy.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's earlier in the fall, and that's one of the reasons I didn't think about it. But it's September each year.
Yeah, I think this next year it's September 11th and 12th scheduled for this next year. It's a night where Christian bands come, and they'll have five or six bands each night. They'll do it for two nights, and it's kind of a neat deal. That's for the tickets you buy for the event. It's $59 for one night, and then it's $108 for two nights. But then they throw in a free day at the water park. So if you buy the two-day event, you actually get a water park out of it. And so those are nice for Christian folks that want to go and just hear some great Christian music. They've got and unlike some of the other events that we tend to see at Epcot, where I'm going, listen, I'm 57 years old, and those guys were old when I was a kid. That's all I'm saying. Just saying, you know, there comes a point where the formaldehyde smell, it just takes the thrill. But with Night of Joy, it's the latest bands, it's the latest groups, and they're not using a lot of guys that are, you know, and so it's great. And then also, hopefully this year, Festival of the Masters, which is, they canceled it last year because it's always held at Downtown Disney. It's a great art festival. And it's got quite a following, amazing artists. That usually happens in November. So they're hoping that things will be finished. And there's no official word yet, but there's a following out there that are hoping that the Festival of the Masters will be back. And for those that are really into art and eclectic experience, it's a great time to go.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that one because it's easy to forget since it was canceled for this year just because of the overwhelming construction that was going on.
Yeah, what a mess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you've heard our suggestions for things that are things to plan ahead for a fall vacation at Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear the way you plan for your fall vacation at Walt Disney World. You can tell us about it by email at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Brad Coates.
Hey, guys, time to stop listening and get out there and book your trip.
And Brett Williams.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And one more thing real quickly. I don't do this very often, but I am going to ask, please consider stopping by iTunes and leaving a review for us. Show's been around now for a while, about 4 years, and the older the reviews get, the less those reviews help other people to find us because they are considered to be stale. So leave us a fresh review, even if you've reviewed us in the past. We'd really appreciate it because, like I said, part of iTunes' algorithm when people, you know, search their catalog for something to listen to takes into account whether there are fresh reviews for a podcast. And those reviews do help people find us, and we love bringing new listeners on board. So consider stopping by iTunes and leaving a review. Thanks again, everybody.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.